Press Review on Radio Yul.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned into Radio Yul. It's November 18th, Monday, and 9:40 a.m. You're listening to Press Review. I'm your host, Şeyma Nurmert Akgül, and I'm in the studio with my colleague, Julia. Hi, Julia.
Hi, Şeyma. Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. Today, we're also here with Penelope on the Reggie. Before starting our program, don't forget to tune in our social media at Radio Yulm on Instagram, X, TikTok, and YouTube. You can also read your blog. Read our blog in www.radioyulm.it and send us a voice message to our number 33 11 43 89 23.
Today we will talk about some hot news. We will touch the Ukraine-Russia war. And then we will move on to the latest updates in the Middle East.
Also, the news on Pope calling out the genocide in Gaza, Yannick Sinner winning on tennis, and G20 on Brazil.
And today it's quite misty and sunny. Quite cold day in Milan. But hopefully we will be ready to start our week after our news.
So thank you so much for tuning us with us, and we'll see you after jingle.
So starting with the news of BBC on the Russian attack on Ukraine. The news mentioned the massive Russian missile and drone attack targeting power infrastructure across Ukraine, the country's President Volodymyr Zelensky said. At least 10 people were killed in the strikes, and it hit the capital, Kyiv, as well as multiple targets in the several regions, including Donetsk, Lviv, and Odessa. Ukraine's largest private energy company said its thermal energy plants had suffered significant damage, resulting in blackouts.
According to Reuters, Russia unleashed its largest airstrike on Ukraine in almost 3 months on Sunday. It was 120 missiles and 90 drones were launched. Moldovan Deputy Prime Minister said that Russian missiles and drones had entered Moldovan airspace during the attack. Also in Poland, which also shares a border with Ukraine, said it had put its air force on alert as a safety measurement.
Also about the Russia-Ukraine war, there is this update on BBC mentioning Biden authorizing Kyiv to use long-range weapons.
Yes, the Biden administration would lift restrictions on Ukraine using American long-range weapons to strike deep into Russia. This information is being provided by the New York Times, which cites a White House source. At issue is the use of missiles with a range of around 300 kilometers, which could be used against Russian and North Korean troops in the Kursk region in western Russia.
In the meantime, BBC mentions the Nordic neighbors releasing new advice on surviving war. Today, according to the news, millions of Swedes will start receiving copies of a booklet advising the population how to prepare and cope in the event of war or other unexpected crisis. The booklet titled If Crisis or War Comes has been updated from 6 years ago because of the government in Stockholm calls the worsening security situation, by which it means Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. The booklet also is twice in size in comparison to the previous edition. The news also mentioned the neighboring Finland. They also just published their own fresh advice on preparing for incidents and crises. In a detailed section of military conflict, the Finnish digital brochure explains how the government and the president would respond in the event of an armed attack, stressing the Finland's authorities are well prepared for self-defense. Finally, Norwegians also recently received a booklet urging them to be prepared to manage on their own for a week in case of extreme weather and war and other threats.
Well, moving on to Middle East, according to Reuters, dozens were killed and wounded in Israeli attacks across Gaza. Israel attacked a residential building in northern Gaza yesterday. According to Gaza government, 72 people were killed by the strike. At the same day, there were other attacks coordinated by Israel in Gaza, killing almost 17 people. According to Gaza Health Ministry, he said that since October 2023, in the beginning of the war, more than 43,000 of people were confirmed killed by Israeli military.
As we're in the Middle East, let's also mention the, again, Reuters news saying Israel's strike on Beirut. And in the attack, the media chief of Hezbollah, Mohammed Afif, he was killed.
On Euronews, Pope calls for probe into whether Israel attacks in Gaza amount to genocide. It's the first time that the Pope Francis has openly urged for an investigation on the genocide allegations over Israel actions in Gaza. In September, he said Israel attacks in Gaza and Lebanon have been immoral and disproportionate in that its military has gone beyond the rules of war. This call was released in excerpts published on Sunday from an upcoming new book ahead of Pope Francis' Jubilee year, the book by Hernán Reyes Alcaide, which is based on interviews with the Pope, is entitled Hope Never Disappoints, Pilgrim Towards a Better World, and will be released in 2025. The Pope had editorial control over this upcoming book. He says that according to some experts, what is happening in Gaza has the characteristics of a genocide. He said on an excerpt on the Italian journal La Stampa.
So, mentioning Italy, let's move to Italian news. We start with the victory of Yannick Sinner. So La Stampa covers Sinner is the master of masters. He won the ATP finals without giving up a set in the entire tournament. Yannick Sinner triumphs in the ATP finals by winning in the final 6-4, 6-4 against the American Tyler Fritz.
In La Gazzetta dello Sport, they say the last victory of an Italian tennis player is as a major tournament in Italy dates back to half a century ago. So we can imagine that Sinner was very, very happy with it. Let's hear it from his words.
Finire la stagione qua, dopo ovviamente c'è ancora Coppa Davis, ma finire qua la stagione è un'emozione incredibile, a prescindere dal risultato, anche se devo dire dall'anno scorso a quest'anno l'emozione è un po' diversa, quindi grazie.
Well, he said that he's very happy to share this win with the Italian crowd. He tried to find a better key to win this year and released the tension.
It was really obvious, his excitement and happiness from his voice, I'll
yes.
say. So let's continue with some more sports news. Corriere dello Sport mentioned the Italy-France football match taking place yesterday. The national team was on the field for the last match of Group 2 of the Nations League against France. The teams, both of them, they were already mathematically qualified for the quarterfinals, but they still clashed for the first place in the group. The victory went to France with the double of the Rabiot and the own goal of Vicario. The goal of Cambiaso was not enough for Italy to win the game. And finally, we have some news from Umbria elections.
Yes, moving on to politics. The citizens of the region are to choose the president and the new council. There are 9 candidates for the governor seat, but the duo is between the outgoing president, Donatella Tesei, supported by the center-right, and the mayor of Assisi, Stefania Proietti, supported by center-left coalition. Yesterday, 31% of eligible voters had voted compared to 52% in the last election, those held in 2019. Voting will take place until 3 p.m. today.
So let's take a break before we continue with some more news. You're listening to Press Review. I'm your host, Shema.
And I'm Giulia Custodio.
We'll be back with some more news.
Take me now, baby, here's I am. Pull me close, try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed. Come on now, try and understand the way I feel. disguised as lust. Here in our bed until the morning comes.
By Patti Smith Group. My name is Julia Custodio and I'm here with Shema.
Hello everyone, welcome back.
We are also here with Penelope on the Reggie. And now we are back with a press review by Radio Ulm. We are going to read to you the most important news of the day. Coming back with the Americas. According to Reuters, the G20 talks in Rio, which breakthrough on climate finance. The diplomatic tensions over global warming spilled over in the G20 summit negotiations in Brazil this week, with sources saying that 20 major economies reached a fragile consensus on climate finance that had eluded UN talks in Azerbaijan. Heads of states arrived in Rio de Janeiro on Sunday for the G20 summit and will spend Monday and Tuesday addressing issues from poverty and hunger to the reform of global institutions. The talks must now grapple with how address escalating violence in Ukraine after a deadly Russian airstrike on Sunday.
From the South America, let's reach out to North America with the news from Euronews. Trump picks climate change skeptic to be his new energy secretary. Donald Trump has selected Chris Wright, a campaign donor and fossil fuel executive, to serve him as his new energy secretary. Chris Wright is a vocal advocate of oil and gas development, including fracking, which was a key pillar for Trump's quest to achieve U.S. energy dominance in the global market. He also has been one of the industry's loudest voices, according to the news, for the efforts to fight climate change and he could give fossil fuels a boost. Frequently criticizing what he calls a top-down approach to climate by liberal and left-wing groups, Wright has argued that climate movement around the world is quote-unquote collapsing under its own weight. He has never served in government, but has written that more fossil production is needed around the globe to lift people out of poverty.
Coming back to the South, on CNN, Venezuela frees dozens of prisoners arrested after Maduro's election victory. Well, first we'll have a background for you. This the news is centered around Venezuela, disputed 2023 presidential election, which took place in July. Nicolas Maduro, who has been in power since 2013, ran for re-election and claimed victory, securing 51% of the vote. However, there were significant doubts about the fairness of the election, and following it, large-scale protests erupted across Venezuela. Many of those protests were fueled by allegations of electoral fraud in the broader economic crisis, including hyperinflation, food and medicine shortage, and widespread poverty. Now, over 1,800 people were arrested for protesting July's election, in which President Maduro was re-elected despite widespread doubts about the result. Human Rights Watch reports at least 24 people were killed during the crackdown on protests. A local rights group, Foro Penal, said 50 people were detained during protests over Venezuela's disputed presidential election and were freed a prison in Aragua, with 20 more released from other jails. The releases come after the death of protester Jesus Manuel Martinez Medina, who had been in custody since August. More releases could happen soon. In Venezuela, remains in crisis following the disputed election, which Maduro allies claimed he won, but many countries and opposition leaders disagree.
So from the Americas, let's travel to Asia, to India. Reuters says Indian police arrested 23 suspects of setting fire to ministers' homes. The manifestation taking place in Manipur was against violent deaths and defied the local curfew. Protesters are demanding accountability for the deadly violence that in the latest incidents left at least two women and two children dead. The indefinite curfew was imposed on Saturday, and internet and mobile phone services were suspended after the protesters tried to break into the homes of several lawmakers.
Now in Australia, according to BBC, Australian senators censured for heckling King. And Australian lawmakers have voted to censure an Aboriginal senator who heckled King Charles during his visit to Canberra last month to express the profound disapproval of her protest. Lydia Thorpe shouted, "You are not my king, and this is not your land," shortly after the king addressed the Great Hall of Parliament in an effort to highlight the impact of British colonization. The Senate censure, which passed 46-12, described Thorpe's action as disrespectful and disruptive, and said they should disqualify her from representing the chamber as a member of any delegation. A censure motion is politically symbolic, but carries no constitutional or legal weight.
Radio Yulm.
So this was Press Review by Radio Yulm. Thank you very much for listening, tuning to Radio Yulm for our show. So remember, you can reach out to us through our social media platforms on Facebook, X, TikTok, and YouTube. Also, you can read our blog on our website, www.radioyulm.it.
Don't forget to also send us a voice message through our number 331-1438-923. And thank you so much for sticking with us today. My name is Julia Custodio.
My name is Şeyma Nur Mert Akgül. And we thank Penelope for helping us deliver the show. So see you later. Stay tuned with Radio Yulm. Ciao.
Press Review on Radio Yulm.